the supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness, and I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Salaamu Alaikum, welcome to this episode of today's special. We're going to speak about the culture of Arba'een, the 40th day of Imam al-Hussein's martyrdom.
Mm-hmm.
Today, Thursday, is the 18th of Safar, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 24th of Shahrivar, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 15th of September, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless this moment of today's special by listening to chapter An-Nahl, verse 90.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Inna Allah ya'muru bil 'adli wal ihsani wa ita'i dhil qurba wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkari wal baghi ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkarun.
Indeed, Allah orders justice and good conduct and giving to relatives, and forbids immorality and bad conduct and oppression. He admonishes you that perhaps you will be reminded.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
This verse is the universal investiture charter of Islam and the Bill of Rights which Imam Muhammad al-Baghir, peace be upon him, used to recite in his sermons during the Friday prayer rituals. And according to Tafsir al-Safi, were there only this single verse to be found in the Quran, we had sufficient grounds to declare that the Quran is explanatory book for everything. The commandments as well as the forbidden matters of this verse have been included in all religions and have never been abrogated.
Walking to Karbala, from Najaf to Karbala. Walking to Karbala, from Najaf to Karbala. I'll give my life and soul just to get to Karbala.
This is Arba'in. Let's go to the Arba'in. This is Arba'in. Let's go to the Arba'in of Imam Hussein. Let's perform the Arba'in.
In this episode, again, we're speaking about Arba'in walking. Arba'in walking has a large potential for public diplomacy. In fact, Arba'in walking as a cultural and religious phenomenon is a special opportunity and capacity to exchange meanings and ideas within the framework of the eternal movement of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him. There are certainly other religious gatherings around the world that have a similar public diplomacy potential for their followers, but when it comes to Shia in the Middle East, it is safe to say that such a large gathering is unique not only among Muslims but also the global population. The walking journey has a large potential for public diplomacy, both in terms of inner religious dialogue and also for extra-territorial understanding.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with certain social, political, and cultural aspects of holding the Arba'in March and Arba'in walk in Iraq. Another point in this regard is that, Arba'in reinforces the Shia identity wherever they are. So you can rarely find any Shia community in the world. You can rarely find any Shia community in the world, however remote, geographically remote it might be from the Shia heartland, that is from Iran, Iraq, and this Middle Eastern region, that you cannot find any Shia community or any Shia family or any Shia individual not to know anything about the Day of Arba'in. Everybody knows, every Shia knows it, because this is part of the religious cultural legacy everybody, every Shia receives. from generation to generation. Another one is simply that, and another point is that on the day of Arba'in, the memory of Ashura is being retold and quite fervently. The day of Arba'in, especially in Karbala, we find that on the day of Arba'in, people come to shed tears profusely in favor of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and in memory of the calamity that was done and was inflicted on the camp of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Now you find that the day of Arba'in has received its own rituals, prayers, ziyarateks, and so on. And all of these indications have been because the infallible imams wanted to change the day of Arba'in into a kind of practical remembrance and into a kind of practical lesson for people, for Shi'i believers and for practicing Shi'is, so that they wouldn't forget the sacrifice, the unique sacrifice of Imam al-Hussein al-Salam.
What lesson can we take from Arba'in Walk? Love and loyalty. Can anyone tell me of a different event that carries this much love and loyalty towards one person? No one can, because this is the only event in the world. In Arba'in, we witness those who participate in the walk not just from Najaf in Iraq, but take it even a step further and come from further distances while weeping and lamenting for Imam al-Hussein the whole way. Altruism. Most volunteers have left everything behind in participate in Arba'in and serve the pilgrims. They left their families, their jobs, their houses. They left it all. Why? Because to them, Imam al-Hussein and the service to his pilgrims is more important. Today's special in Arba'in walking that has a large potential for public diplomacy. One of the main goals of public diplomacy is to bring people together to increase intercultural dialogue. If we accept this, then practitioners should definitely follow one of the largest public diplomacy gatherings of today's world, the Arba'in ceremony in Iraq. In addition to the Shias, the presence of followers of other religions in this unique human assembly has made this walk special and has drawn the attention of religion, of regional and global public opinion to itself.
Examine the benefits of the ziyarah itself, my dear brothers and sisters. When you go on the ziyarah of Arba'in, have you seen the spirit of empathy amongst the people? We human beings, we are rooted in selfishness. And one of our greatest challenges in life is to uproot the selfishness in us, to become selfless, to have the spirit of empathy helping one another, caring for one another. This is something that you see during the Arba'een walk, where millions of people, they forget about their comfort, and all they want to do is serve the visitors of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. Isn't this an amazing lesson that we need in our everyday lives, my dear brothers and sisters? The root cause of our problems in our families, in our businesses, in our societies is lack of empathy. We cannot picture ourselves in the shoes of other people. We don't empathize with them. And that makes us selfish. This is the root of our problems. Sometimes when you do marriage counseling and you're trying to see where the problem is, I tell you, 90% of the problems that we have in our marriages is because of selfishness, because of lack of empathy. If the husband shows some empathy to the wife, they would not have problems. If the wife shows empathy to the husband, there is no problem. Sometimes all you need is just small acts of sacrifice, small acts of generosity. When your husband, your wife comes back from work, they've had a long day, whether at work, doing house chores, just show them one token of appreciation. One small act of generosity, show them. Whether it's a word, it's a glass of water that you give to them, just to thank them for what they went through. Do you think you'll have problems in the house that day? Even with small acts like that. Those people who have serious marital problems, they reach a point where they no longer appreciate each other's works. Even small acts of generosity like that, they become non-existent in the marriage. And that takes a heavy toll on the marriage. Small acts of sacrifice. Arba'een is about serving others. If I go to the Arba'een walk and the only lesson I learn is to serve others, then I have achieved that goal, my dear brothers and sisters. These are the amazing benefits from this amazing ziyarah.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. Thank you very much for joining us. And we leave you in Allah's protection. Have a nice time. Please keep us in your prayers and fi amanillah. Allahumma ij'al mahyaya mahyaya Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa mamati mamata Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us contemplate on a statement by the Holy Prophet's 8th infallible heir, Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Raza, peace be upon him, who cautioned against drifting away from God's mercy. The friend of any individual is his mind, and his enemy is his ignorance.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a beautiful and noble hadith and narration, which has been passed down to us from Imam Jafar as-Sadiq alayhi salam. This beautiful hadith is about concealment of secrets. You know, the concealment of secrets in general is a virtue. It is something very respectable, and it is necessary, and in some cases, extremely necessary. This is in general. In regarding this topic, Imam Ali alayhi salam has said, "To keep silent is wisdom, quietness is safety, and concealment of secrets is a part of prosperity." Also, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam said, "By Allah, I would like to sacrifice the meat of my forearm for two vices of our followers, heedlessness and little concealment of secrets." But to be more specific, concealment of the secrets of a believer or even in some cases, the imam himself. Of course, we're not in the time of the presence of the imam. But in the time of the presence of the imam, concealing their secrets to protect them, this is one of the most emphasized of obligations. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said the following with respect to Allah's verse in the Holy Quran, that because they would defy the signs of Allah and kill the prophets unjustly, right? This is a reference to the Jews, right, who have been accused in the Holy Quran of killing the prophets unjustly. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, in elucidation of this verse of the Holy Quran, said the following, "By Allah, they did not kill them with their hands, nor did they strike them with their swords." I mean, they didn't actually directly kill these prophets. What did they do then? But they listened to their private speeches and publicized them. These prophets were probably preaching in private to a small group of people. You know, obviously these prophets, you know, in lots of cases, they were, you know, in very restricted and confined situations. They lived in places where, they were under the government of a tyrant who didn't like them and didn't want to hear the monotheistic teachings, right? So they had to privately, preach their message, their monotheistic and tawhidi message. But these people, right, they listened to these speeches, and they publicized them. They told, and they brought them out in the open. And then obviously the tyrant of their times, they heard about this. They were able to, find out the location of these prophets. And then they were killed. So they were punished because of it and killed, the imam says. Right? So this is one of the grave sins. And, obviously we're not in the time of the presence of the imam. But like, let's say that we're in a place where, you know, the government of that nation or that city or that area, right, is opposed to Islam or Muslims or the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, it's not good for us to publicize the beliefs of our fellow brothers and put them in danger. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the concealment of secrets in the words of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد عودتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Respected brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. So inshallah, today we'll work on the next ayah, the fifth ayah of Surah Al-Baqarah. Make sure you have listened to the previous ayat, verses of the Quran Kareem, Surah Al-Baqarah, inshallah. Today, the same as the previous days, we'll explain a little, okay, the fifth ayah of Surah Al-Baqarah, then inshallah, we'll work on the tajweed rules. So, but before we start, let's listen to this ayah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alif Lam Mim. Zalika al-kitab la rayba fihi hudan lil-muttaqin alladhina yu'minuna bil-ghaybi wa ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى وأولئك هم المفلحون إن الذين كفروا سواء عليهم أأنذرتهم أم لم تنذرهم لا يؤمنون.
Yeah, alhamdulillah, that was a nice recitation. Now let's inshallah recite it together. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
أولئك على هدى من ربهم.
أولئك على هدى من ربهم
وأولئك هم المفلحون
وأولئك هم المفلحون
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
أحسن. In this ayah again, Allah Almighty talks about the muttaqin in the second ayah that we had. Yes? ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. So, there were many characteristics for the muttaqin, those who are pious, those who are God-wary. And for example, الذين يؤمنون بالغيب, those who believe in عالم الغيب, ويقيمون الصلاة, those who maintain the prayers, ومما رزقناهم ينفقون, and they spend from what we have provided them with. Yes? The knowledge, whatever. And والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك, and those who believe in what we have sent down to you, Prophet, what Allah Almighty had sent to the Prophet, to our Prophet,
Quran,
the Quran al-Karim, right, Fawad? What?
Quran al-Karim.
Quran al-Karim. And وما أنزل من قبلك, whatever we have sent down before you to the other prophets, the other books, in Bible, Taurat, Zabur, and any other books, okay? That Allah Almighty has sent to the other prophet, the other scriptures, divine scriptures, okay? وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يَقْنُونَ, and they are those who believe in the day of judgment, okay? Those who have faith. يُقِنُونَ, it means they have faith, strong faith, okay? And then, in the next ayah, again, Allah Almighty says something about them, a very important point. أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ, okay? وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ, they are those who follow their Lord's guidance. Okay? أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ, Allah Almighty guides them to the right path. Allah Almighty has given them the opportunity to be Muslim. They were born Muslim, for example, okay? They were born Muslim, they were born Mu'min in a Muslim family. They have this condition, this situation they have, okay? These characteristics they have. So it is very, very much important to stay, to live Muslim, like a Muslim, okay? After this as well. There have been a lot of people, okay? First and foremost, they were like Muslims, or they were given great opportunities. But unfortunately, after some times, they committed sins, they met a lot of bad things, or they were like deprived of those blessings, okay? So it's very important that we have to stay on this path. Loving Imam Hussein is not that much important as staying in the way of Imam Hussein, okay? Staying in the way of Imam Hussein is much more better. A lot of people love, okay? But when it comes to support Imam Hussein, sorry, we're not here to support him. We just love him. So no, not like this, okay? So it's very important to stay, okay? To maintain this. Yeah? There was someone saying that I don't pray, okay? But I pray once. Like, for example, once a week I pray. How do you pray once a week? He said that he was living in Europe, okay? In Europe, we don't have much time, okay, to go from early morning, wake up and pray, and afternoon pray, and evening pray. We don't have much time. We are too much busy. So we collect all the prayers, okay? And on Sundays Saturdays and Sundays, we are free. We do all the prayers together once, okay? No, it's not this way, okay? You gotta stay, you gotta maintain the salat we had there, yes? Maintaining the salat, the prayer, okay? Not like this. So we are free on Fridays. So is it okay if we do the prayers just only on Fridays? No, maintain the prayers. Ulaika ala hudan min rabbihim. They are on this path, okay? Not once, always. This is important. Wa ulaika humul muflihun. As, for example, and it is they who are the felicitous, okay? You know felicitous? Those who are prosperous. Those who are successful. Muflih, it means that someone who has no pain, who has no sadness, who is fully like aware of what happens to him, aware of what good things happens to him. He is prosperous, he is successful. So, muttaqin have these characteristics. And what is the result of being muttaqin, amongst muttaqin? Muflihun. We will be muflih. We will have a prosperous life. Okay? In this world and hereafter. So these were the messages, short explanations about these five ayats. Okay, ayat, verses of the Quran Kareem in Surah Al-Baqarah. Inshallah, in the next sessions, we'll work on the next verses and we'll explain. Okay, I hope you've learned something. Now, if you're ready, let's go to Tajweed rules. But recite a salawat before.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Are these things, these messages, understandable for you?
Yes.
Yes, they are. Inshallah, I hope, inshallah, they will be good lessons for first and foremost for myself and then for you as listeners.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا القرآن.
Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
So, أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون. Who can tell me what is the first important tajweed point here that we have to pay attention to?
جائز متصل.
جائز متصل أولئك.
Hudam.
We have Ulaika, we have Hudam. So, what is in the first word? What tajweed rule is in the first word? Ulaika?
Wajib muttasil.
The mad. You're talking about the mad.
Yes.
Mad jaiz. Jaiz muttasil? Wajib muttasil.
Wajib muttasil.
Yeah. Ulaika wajib muttasil. Okay. Listen, how do I read this? Ulaika. Ulaika. Oh. Is it a short vowel or a long vowel? Short vowel, yes. Why is it short vowel? We have Dhamma plus Waw Sakin. Waw Maddi. Ulaika. But you will never hear Ulaika. Yeah? Do you hear Ulaika?
No.
Like we have A, U, E. This has to be pronounced as Waw Maddi. But we don't have that one. Why? Huh? In math lessons, we had some exceptions in natural math. Ulaika, ulai, ulai. We had these words, six words were there, that they were exceptional, that you don't have to stretch. Do you remember them?
Yes.
You don't have to stretch the vowel mat. Yes? Understood?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
This is one of those words, okay? Mm-hmm. That you don't have to stretch the sound of this wa. Only it's pronounced as a short vowel. Ulaika. Not ulaika. Okay. And the mad here, ulaika, it is wajib
muttasil.
Why? Hussein? Why is it wajib muttasil?
Because harful mad and hamza are in the same word.
Harful mad and hamza are in the same word. Ulai. 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 E hamza. Ula alif mad we have here. So, how do you recite this?
Ulaika.
Ahsan. Ulaika. MashaAllah. MashaAllah. Ulaika. Ala hudam min rabbihim. Is there any other point on the word ala?
Yes, maddu tabi'i.
Maddu tabi'i? And the pronunciation of the letter ayn.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
So, a. Ayn, okay? It's difficult for none, like those who are native speakers of English, it's difficult for them, really difficult. I have some students that the letters Ayn and Ghayn and Qaf, these three letters, really like, it's a big problem for them. It's difficult for them. For after a long time, they will learn these letters. I'm saying, for example, Quran, they say Quran, K. Because we don't have Qaf in English. We don't have Ghain in English. We don't have Ayn in English. We have A, not A. It's difficult for them, yes? So, it's challenging, but you gotta fix it, okay? Ayn. Fawad Haider had this problem, yes?
No, I just say more, heavily.
Heavily, okay.
I pronounce
Ayn.
Ala.
Say Ala.
Ala.
Oh, it's good now. Say ala.
Ala.
He says ala. He kind of
confused.
He's confused of ayn and a hamza. Say
a
a
a
ala
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 ala.
Yeah, it is confusing for him. I'll fix it. Okay,
inshallah. No, hamza is a, ayn is a.
Yeah, ayn is a. So, the next point with ala, we finished maddu tabi'i and ayn itself. Then hudan, here, hudan min rabbihim. Hudan, tanween. Then we have mim, tanween plus mim.
Idgham.
With ghunna, without ghunna?
With ghunna.
How do you recite this, Ali Nasir?
Hudam.
Okay, recite ulaika ala hudam. Min rabbihim.
Ulaika ala hudam min rabbihim.
Was he correct?
No.
The idgham was not correct, yes?
Yes.
So, recite. We will listen to you.
أولئك على هدى من ربهم.
Was he correct for what? Recite for what?
من ربهم. He said lightly.
So recite this ayah.
هدى من ربهم.
هدى. Is it إخفاء?
No, no.
إدغام with غنة.
أولئك على هدى من ربهم. هدى من ربهم.
إدغام with غنة. نسأل صح.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ.
مِّن رَبِّهِمْ نُن ساكن plus ra, idgham without gunna.
Heavily pronounced.
Joined mim to ra. Yeah, heavily pronounced. رَبِّهِمْ. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. أُولَٰئِكَ, again, we explained. هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Hamzatul wasl, you gotta skip it. Al-muflihun, yes. Then the pronunciation of the larha. That's all about this ayah. So, inshallah, in the next session, we will be work on the ayah 6 of Surah Al-Baqarah. So, thank you so much. Once again, we'll listen to this ayah. Listen up.
أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ.
Yeah, alhamdulillah, that was great. Now, let's end this session, inshallah. We'll come back with you in the next session with Ayah 6 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Allahumma salli ala
Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa ala Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
Savior.
Oh, the Savior of mankind, please show us a sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah. To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to the program The Last Savior. I'm your host, Zainab Asghari. Today in our studio, we have had the pleasure to invite Dr. Ali Alavi. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you very much, and thanks for inviting me to your show.
Well, Dr. Ali Alavi, we have been talking in our
previous session in general about the relationship between Ashura and Maitaviyat. And then we reached a point that Ashura should be recognized by all, and this will happen until uprising by different events, like Arbaeen is one of the very good signs, and it connotes a lot of things. It's already acting as media and a carrier of message of Ashura. And we said that one of the flag that Imam Zaman at the time of Advent will be carrying, it will be bearing a message that will be the taking the revenge of the blood of Imam Hussein Alayhi. But at that time, we said that the criminals who carried out the sinners, who carried out this big sin in the event of Ashura killing Imam Hussein Alayhi, are already dead. They are not available. So who is Imam going to take revenge from? You gave us a little explanation in previous episode. I would want you to continue with the summary of the same and continue it further.
Yes, we have been talking about the time of the advent of Imam Zaman Alayhi Salam and its relationship to the people who caused and who created the catastrophe of Ashura and killed Imam Hussein. We wanted to see how can we actually expect Imam Zaman Alayhi Salam to take revenge from those who are not more available. Yes, we said that in the hadith we read, in many of the hadith or plenty of the hadith, that one of the signs of the reappearance of Imam Zaman is the emergence of a person called Sufyani.
Yes.
It could be a person or let's say a movement, a country, a nation or something.
Okay.
So let's think of a person that is up by this name. He's from the sons of Utbah, the son of Abu Sufyan. So I want to ask the respected listeners to pay attention to this point, that this Sufyani is again from the descendant of the same, let's say,
Bani Umayya.
Destiny of Bani Umayya.
All right.
So this is one relation, but a person who is from destiny of a group or lineage, so why should he be, let's say, punished for what he did not do?
Exactly.
So this is actually like a usurpation. Look, suppose that, for example, there is a piece of land and one of your ancestors, grandfathers, actually usurped it from a person.
Yeah.
And you inherited that land and you got to know, okay, it was usurped by your, let's say, grandfather.
Yeah.
In case you continue to usurp that land, you are like your grandfather.
Again, yeah.
See? So in case you give it back to the owners, to the real owners of that land, you have done the right thing.
Yeah.
So a person like him, like Sufyani, in case he knows that actually what happened and what he did and what his ancestors did, again, in case he actually purposely continues the same way, so he's again, the revenge should be done on him.
Yeah.
Moreover, let me give you one more aspect of this Sufyani and the issues around him. Bani Umayyah destiny that we know at the, let's say, history of Islam, at the dawn of Islam, these destiny were actually a mixture of those who actually accepted Islam and those who were among the Jews. And they, at least the relationship between Bani Umayyah and the Jews at the dawn of Islam was too much.
Okay.
You see, this is one aspect. Put it in a part of your mind, inshallah.
Yeah.
And second, again, we have in a hadith that he is from one side, he is from the sons of Utbah, that is from the descendants of, let's say, Abu Sufyan.
Okay.
And from other side, we say that he comes from Rome.
Okay.
Like, that is the best. So I want to make, let's say, simile between, or I want to make a relationship between all these hadith and to make one
conclusion
general understanding.
Out of it.
A conclusion.
Let's make it a little curious for the audiences. We'll answer that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio. Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is The Last Savior. I'm with Dr. Ali Alavi, and we are talking about the relationship between Ashura and Maitaviyat. And right now we're discussing the point that who are the ones that Imam Zaman, Ajallah Ta'ala Faraja, is going to take revenge from, the revenge of Ashura, actually. You said a lot of narrations, and now you're trying to deduce one conclusion out of
it. So this Sufyani is from the descendant of Bani Umayyah, from one side in Hadith, and he, from the other side, we read that it comes from Rome. Some actually have mixed between whatever is being said about Sufyani or Dajjal.
Yeah.
No, before the reappearance of Imam, we didn't have any concept of Dajjal. So it is a mistranslation that has been done by some Christian sources. So whatever we are expecting before the advent of Imam is Sufyani. So From one side, they say that they are coming from West or Rome, the Rome of the past, which equals the West of today.
Yeah.
And some from the descendant of Abu Sufyan.
Okay.
Look at the day that we are in. There are some people who have a good relation with each other. Some who are really from the descendant of Abu Sufyan and the Jews. They have mixed a sort of front called Arabi, Ibri.
Yeah.
Ibri Arabi.
Yeah.
Or can we say that, okay, even this Sufyani is very close to the word Sahyani or Sahyun? Does it actually stick anything to our minds that this person can be connected to that? Or this movement or this country is the same, that they have come from West and they have now joined with the descendant of Abu Sufyan.
And they have all those characteristics.
And they have all those characteristics, and they did lots of problems in the region, in the same region, the Wadi Yabes. So exactly, where is Wadi Yabes? Close to Sham, that is the place that now the Israel is located.
Yeah.
So among the signs of the appearance of Imam is the Sufyani. We are not going to determine any time or any place for the reappearance of Imam because it is against the narrations. But I want to say that, okay, it could at least bring a sort of, let's say, hints to our minds that this Sufyani and Sahyani could be very close to each other. So maybe during in the course of writing these histories, something actually changed and the words actually changed there.
Like we have
translation or transliteration.
So we have a lot of things like that. We'll talk more on that, Dr. Alavi, after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
I can feel your eyes like the sun shining behind the clouds. I need a morning to shatter this long night forever. I need a hero to stop this thousand-year-old
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is The Last Savior. I'm with Dr. Ali Alavi. We're talking about the relationship between Ashura and Mathaviyat. And right now we have reached a point that who Imam is going to take revenge of Ashura from. And we reached a point, it's Sufyani, that's written in the narrations. Dr. Alavi is kind of trying to interpret who this Sufyani could be. Maybe a nation, maybe a tribe, or maybe a person. Yes. Mm-hmm.
We said that at the time of the reappearance of Imam Zaman alayhi salam, that he comes to revenge the blood of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam with the motto and the flag of Yalla Tharat al-Hussein.
Yeah.
There are some groups in front of Imam being led by a person or a group or a movement or a country by the name of Sufyani.
Yeah.
Well, he said some actually hints that this Sufyani could be that Sahyani or Sahyun or the group of people now that are interconnected, interrelated with each other due to some commonalities that they have. The Ibri or Arabic, Ibri, Hebrew Arabic line.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we are talking about the Jews, let me clarify one important point. Actually, we are not talking about the followers of the Prophet Musa alayhi salam, Moses the Prophet. No. A group of people who accepted this policy, this, let's say, front, whatever is going to happen in this line. Because even among the Zionists, there are some Jews, there are some Christians, there are some Muslims. So it does not necessarily mean that they are the followers of the Prophet Moses alayhi salam necessarily. Yeah. And when we have again some hadith that Prophet Isa alayhi salam, Jesus the Christ, will accompany or will appear again with Imam Mahdi alayhi salam to fill the proof on all the followers of Prophet Isa alayhi salam to follow Imam Zaman alayhi salam.
Yeah.
You see? So this is again to tell the whole world. So the medium of Arabian from somewhere, again, the reappearance of Prophet Isa alayhi salam from the other side. All of these issues actually put hands in hand to follow Imam Zaman alayhi salam to do that universal revolution. And these revolutions are mostly before the advent of Imam.
Yeah.
You see, after the establishment of government of Imam, in a hadith, we don't have anything about the wars and, let's say, the unrest among the people. Because the time of peace and stability and salvation of the people and prosperity of people comes.
Exactly.
You see, when we are talking about the wars or the bloodshed on the scene of the earth are no more at the time of his government and establishment of his government. So whatever we are talking about, all the wars are before that.
Yeah.
So, and inshallah, this would be the time that وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسِ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ
أَفْوَاجًا.
All the people from all the religions come to accompany and follow Imam Zaman alayhi salam.
And above all, there's Nasr of Allah, the help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And the great promise of Allah, إِنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحُونَ. That is the promise of God that said that this land will be inherited by these
Salihin,
the righteous people.
The righteous.
Yeah. Inshallah, it will happen. And we are very happy that we, and we think that it's very close and it's not that far to happen, yeah. Inshallah.
Inshallah.
So all in all, we said that by Latharat al-Hussein, Imam alayhi salam and his followers and his troops will take revenge of those who actually oppressed Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. We said that everyone actually pays the revenge based on what he is doing at that time. Anyone who actually, again, is with the same mentality, with the same thinking system that was at the time of Imam Hussein, will be afflicted as a, let's say, the target, and will be targeted as the enemy of Imam.
Basically, your actions show which group you belong to.
Very
are you
true.
A Husseini or are you a Yazidi?
Yeah.
Even today, like, we have Ashura being happening all over
Very
the
true.
World. And as you referred Sufyani to the Sayyuni, and we can see all the characteristics.
Exactly. And this is our duty.
Yeah.
As a duty-bound person, as the waiter of Imam Zaman, even if we are on the walk between Najaf or Karbala, we have to know who is the Shemr of our time, who is the Yazid of our time.
Of our time.
And who is the Hussein of our time.
Exactly.
So this is very important in order to find the way in the right way. So in case we still agree, our heart agrees with those who are with the Yazid of the time, it means that they are against the Imam al-Zaman. But for those who even are among the Shias, the followers of the school of Ahlul Bayt, they don't have this power to discriminate between the Yazid and the Hussein of the time.
Okay.
They are still actually stopped in the Hussein and Yazid of 1400 years ago.
Yeah.
They have not yet matured.
Yeah.
And this is very dangerous for us to stay in the past, in the history, and not get matured with the history of our day.
All right.
So we have
to. History is actually all to teach you about the current time.
Definitely. We have to see if whatever, for example, it is being done in Yemen.
Yeah.
Is the right of Yemenis, or it's actually a massacre against them? Whatever is happening
in
Syria, in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, in all Muslim countries.
Yeah.
So we have to distinguish the right. I mean, are those who are actually violating the rights of the Muslims?
Yeah.
Are they in the right side or in the wrong side?
Yeah.
And